I invite you to please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I've chosen to speak to you topically today. Would like to read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 through verse 11. 2 Timothy 4, 9 says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Within our reading, we have discovered a variety of people at differing levels of spiritual maturity. We find John Mark, who had left Paul's first missionary journey before the work was done. And Paul evidently saw Mark as a quitter, so when Barnabas wanted to take him on the second journey, Paul was opposed to it. This disagreement caused Paul and Barnabas to split ways. But we read in the text that Paul later changed his view of Mark. Now he is profitable. Of course, Mark also penned the gospel which bears his name. Then we find a listing of other faithful servants, men such as Crescens and Titus, Luke and Timothy. But at last I point out to you the mention of one who was not so faithful. In fact, this guy departed the ministerial service and fell back into the world. "Yes, Demas hath forsaken me," Paul says, "having loved this present world." This diversity is also expressed in the parable of the seed and the sower. Turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew and chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. In expression of the parable itself, we're not going to give you the entire parable, but I pick it up in verse 7 and verse 8, where some of the seed, it says in verse 7, "Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold." Now look at the verse 22 and verse 23, Jesus giving explanation of the parable. Again, we'll not speak of the entire parable, just the explanation of those two verses that I just read. Verse 22, "He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. But he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, and which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And I judge that we can attach Demas to verse 22. The word has been given, but it falls among thorns, and eventually Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. But not all forsake, not all go astray, and of course then there are the seed that falls among the good ground, and it bears different levels of fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. But we see a difference among individuals and the result and the impact of which those individuals will make. Now this spectrum of responses also finds itself or its expression in the Christian responses to the Word of God. The personal interest, the heart's desire, the time investment reflects spiritual maturity or a lack thereof. And in the very least, it indicates the level of spiritual passion at the time, which, by the way, can waffle back and forth, waxing hot and then cold, rising and dropping like a roller coaster. So of the many indicators which signal a Christian's level of maturity and passion, I focus on one today, and that is the Christian's approach to the Word of God. Have you ever heard the complaint about a preacher or a church, "I'm just not getting fed"? People quit attending the teaching and the preaching of God's Word because, as they say, they just aren't getting any spiritual food and they're not getting what they need. They haven't grown any, and it's the Sunday school teacher's fault, or it's the fault of the pastor. Now, I realize there can be fault with the pastor, and there can be fault with the Sunday school teachers. But I'm not going to argue the difference of delivery or the manner of speech. Some have more eloquence than others. Some have a charisma which just charms the hearer. And I know that some people are dull and boring and lifeless. At least from our own perspective, we view that as such. But to what are we addressing? The food itself or the manner in which the waiter serves it? I was once in a discussion about whether or not there was a lack of food being served from the pulpit, and where an individual said this: if they go away without being fed, it is because they have not come in hungry. And to this I agree. I mentioned a few moments ago, if you come looking for a blessing, I believe that you'll receive a blessing. It just depends how you come. And my friend, if you're hungry, it matters little how the food is served, doesn't it? I ask you, have you left here spiritually hungry? You came looking for milk and meat and received none? Have you complained that you just aren't getting fed? I've not heard any of that, but I'm just talking about this topic today. I must then ask, have you come to the table hungry? And that's the title that I'll offer you today in a topical fashion. Have you come to the table hungry? I trust you have today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for those who are here. And Lord, we ask that all of us have come spiritually hungry today, that Lord, that which you've laid upon my heart to share at this time would speak to everyone, that you would meet every need. We also realize that, oh God, some in our midst are not saved, and a message such as this may not be of much interest to them, but Lord, help them to recognize that the truth of salvation and the truth of their sin and the hell and judgment to come and what Christ has done and the availability to be redeemed, all that's found in the Word. And so, Lord, give them a desire for the Word that they would read and know and learn about you, and pray that you would use that to save them. Lord, we just commit this time to you today, and I pray that the message that you've given me would be received in the intention of which it's offered. And I ask that it would be to your honor and to your glory. Just speak to our hearts. Help us to always thirst and hunger after your Word and after you. And may you be glorified in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I offer you, have you come to the table hungry? Now, the first thing I want to bring to your attention, I'm going to invite you over to the book of Hebrews and chapter 5. I need to establish a foundation or a basis as to how I'm making this application of the Word of God. And so if you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 5, my first point of the message, if you happen to be following along in the bulletin outline, is that there's an analogous link between the Word and food. Analogy. God uses God has caused these men to use an analogy of food to represent the Word of God. And so there's an analogous link between food and the Word. Proof of this, I'm going to give you three references. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Notice it as you read. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so you see readily in the passage, as the apostle writes and says, yeah, some of you guys, you're just not very mature. You don't have much understanding. You're just in need of milk. And so he makes a distinction. He calls it milk and he calls it meat. Another passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1 and verse 2. Paul writes to the church of Corinth and he says, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal or fleshly, even as unto babes in Christ. Notice his expression in the second verse. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. See the analogy of food, solid meat, and milk? Last passage, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter writing, and he says in verse 1, 1 Peter 2, 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Boy, you see that, don't you? We've seen babies take milk as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, each of these verse references that I've offered you speak of an aspect of the Bible. It is important that you realize that the Word of God is compared to physical food, that of milk and meat. We read it three times. Milk is for the babies and meat is for those with growth. Milk is the simple basic doctrines of the Word, and the meat, the more difficult doctrines, more difficult to chew and harder to digest. And permit me to interject here that even though we may be advanced to meat, there still is a need for milk. Both milk and meat are necessary for a well-balanced, healthy diet for the maturing person. I encourage you today to desire the meat and the milk. I believe that it would be proper for us to speak of such milk and meat as spiritual food. And it should go without saying that we are saved, and since we're saved, we need spiritual food. However, allow me to move then toward the intent of today's message and that question that I posed to you early on. Have you come to the table hungry? Two main points that I'll offer you as we finish out of the message today. The first is this: reasons why we come to the table and not eat. So I want to take physical analogy, apply it to spiritual, connect the dots, and see if it speaks to your heart. And I pray that God does bless you through this time. Now, as I talk about reasons why you might come to the table and not eat, obviously there are times you might go to the table and there'll be nothing there. But truly, the actual lack of food is remote. It's very rare in the pulpit, and it's very rare in the churches, and it's very rare in the home that you don't have anything to eat. So I'm not going to include this into discussion, because food is available. As far as I can tell, food is available. So what about the other reasons? What could be the foundations of why you might come to the table and you might not eat? Make these spiritual applications. First of all, you've come only to fellowship. Is there anything wrong with fellowship? Absolutely not. I think Christians need fellowship. It's good to get together, and it's good to commune one with another. Nothing wrong with that. But some people come only to fellowship. My sons, they have a tendency every now and then to go out with their friends, and when they do, they'll go to a restaurant, and on more than one occasion, they'll go to a restaurant, sit down, and they will eat absolutely nothing. They might not even get a glass of water. Why? Because they're going to fellowship with their friends. They're not really going to eat. That's not the intent. That's not the desire. They're going to fellowship. And so they'll go out to a restaurant, and some of the people will order, of course, but they'll sit there and fellowship with their friends for a couple hours in a restaurant. Some of you might have done that. You just never ate a thing. That wasn't the intent, was it? But I say unto you, dear Christian friend, if you come to this house, nothing wrong with fellowship, but you come to this house only to fellowship, and you didn't come with an appetite, you didn't come with a desire to eat from the Word of God and to drink of the Word, then what's going to happen is you just haven't come hungry. You come to this table here, but you didn't come for the purpose of eating. You came for fellowship. And I trust you get fellowship. We want you to have fellowship. And by the way, if you say, well, I come to this church and nobody fellowships with me, let us know, because we don't want to ignore anybody. We want to be friends with everybody. We want to fellowship one with another. That's a good thing. But there's more than fellowship. And so I asked the first one, you've come only to fellowship. That may be one reason why you've come and you're not hungry. Second, you might come to the table and not eat because you're distracted while at the table. Now, years ago, it would be a matter of somebody might be reading a newspaper or reading a book. Now you got the tablets and the smartphones, right? And I don't know about you, but we have a problem around our dinner table. Man, those guys, their phones just keep blowing up the whole dinner time. And, you know, they'll be eating along, snap, you know, just chewing, and then all of a sudden, beep, there's a text message or whatever. You know, they'll stop and check out the text message. The food gets cold. You know why? Distraction at the table. I mean, they really did come to eat. And you guys do it all the time. I mean, that's the way the media is, isn't it? I mean, you go in any restaurant, you see people taking pictures of their food and then playing with their smartphone the whole thing the whole time. And what it is they're distracted. They did come to eat. And they might take a bite, and it'll take a little while, and they'll take a bite, and it'll take a little while, and it takes them forever to finish. And then it gets cold, and they come out, I don't like it anymore. But you know what? You can get distracted when you come here. You come to the table to eat. Distractions happen. And it's a good thing to pray that God would not allow distractions. You know, babies cry, it happens. People get sick, it happens. People have to get up and leave, it happens. Sometimes cell phones go off or alarms in the parking lot. Well, you know, all of a sudden somebody moves wrong and their car alarm goes off. And everybody, you know what? You just lost it. You know why? Because you got distracted while at the table. You come to eat, you intend to focus, but you're just not eating because there's just too many distractions. I encourage you to minimize distractions as much as possible. Why? Because you came to eat. You didn't come for anything else. And so put the games away and all that kind of stuff. Pay attention to the Word. That's why you're here, right? So you come to fellowship. That may be one reason why you're not eating. You come, but you're distracted. The third thing that I offer unto you is you're just deep in thoughts on other matters. You ever do that? Preachers do that sometimes. I'll go hear somebody else preach, and he'll say something that will make me think of a sermon. And for the next 5 or 10 minutes, I'll be developing that sermon in my mind and tracking down some verses, and I'll just lose everything he's saying. Now, that's wrong for me to do, because I'm not there to develop sermons. I'm there to worship God and to hear this fellow preach and the message he has for me. But you can be deep in thought. You sit around the table with your family, and some people just they got burdens on their heart or whatever, and they're just trying to mull something out. Not much discussion goes on. Do you know why? Because they're just in deep thought, and they don't eat either. They're just picking around their plate, shoveling the food from one side to the other, because there's such a deep thought. And that can happen in the house of God. Some of you about 25 minutes from now is going to be planning where you're going to go to eat lunch. In fact, you might start right now. I don't know, since I brought it up, you might as well go ahead and begin on it. But the point is we can get distracted, can't we? All of us does that. Yeah, preachers do that too, by the way. When we have fellowship meals here, you know what happens? I can see at about quarter till, people start losing interest because they can smell the food coming into the building. It's just a distraction, isn't it? You get thinking about something else. I would encourage you come to the table, try to put those things aside so you can eat. You're not going to always be able to do that. I understand that. You've got burdens on your heart and your life, things that are going on that you can't help but it's just on the back burner of your mind, and it's just going to be there. I understand that. God knows that. But we just want to minimize it as much as possible. But that's one of the reasons why we don't eat, is because we're just deep in thought. And then, of course, number four, you might dislike the preparation of or the serving of the food. I'm the kind of person, I like my meat well done. Some of you like it to where, I mean, you go out and get a steak, it's mooing at you. I don't like that. I don't like blood. That's just not me. I never have liked that. I don't care for it. If I go and I get a hamburger or a steak or anything like that, I want it cooked. And I don't like anything dripping out and all that kind of thing. It's just, I just don't like that preparation. And the food that I eat, I like it prepared in a certain way, just like you do. And but you know what? Sometimes it's not prepared the way you like. Sometimes the pizza's cold. Sometimes the soup's too hot. Sometimes the steak is too rare or it's too well done. You take it back. And so I realize that sometimes you might come to the table, but you just don't like the preparation of it. You don't like the way I serve it. And I try to make it pleasing. You know, it kills me when I see these advertisements on the television where they're advertising these restaurants, you know, and they get this plate and they put a little dinky piece of food here and they drizzle on it, and they got a little garnish over here, and they got a little bit of broccoli or something else over on this side, you know, and you look at that plate and you say, man, that's not even edible. It don't look good, and I just don't get anything out of it. I can't go to fancy restaurants. If I go to a fancy restaurant, I'm likely to buy a hamburger because I just don't like the preparation of this stuff. I've been to those fancy restaurants, and they can't eat the stuff. I just don't like the way it is. I don't like the way it's cooked, and you'll never have me. I'll never eat sushi, I guarantee. I don't eat anything raw too much like that. It's just not going to happen. I understand that when you come to the table here, sometimes you may not like the way it's served. But I do intend that the food is always hot and at the right temperature in a way that you can be able to comprehend and digest and not make you sick. Hopefully it's not too greasy. And well, we just want you to be able to take in the Word of God. But sometimes you'll come into the house of God and it's not prepared the way you like. And the truth is, if I stand up here and spout a bunch of Greek terms and you're saying, I have no idea what in the world you're talking about, then I've not prepared properly. Now, I'll give you some information, and I do that to encourage you and to teach and to train some. But all the pots and the pans are left behind in the kitchen. I don't have to bring it out here. I want you to understand. And I think generally you understand what I'm saying. I pretty much speak English, I think, even though it's a little bit Yankee into it. But I speak English, and I hope you know. And when I throw a ball across the plate, I throw it right down the middle. I try to. As I want you to see it clearly and I want you to hit it. I want you to understand. But I understand sometimes you're not going to eat simply because it's not prepared the way you like it. But then, number five, you don't eat. You come to the table and you don't eat because you just don't like the food. You know, some people don't like what I have to say sometimes. And there's a trend within modern society where people don't go to churches that still preach the Bible too much because when they do, they're offended. They don't like what they hear. And you know what? I can't apologize about that. We're just going to keep giving the Word of God the way it is in truth. If that offends you, you're just going to have to be offended. If you're offended at me today, you're just going to have to be offended. My intent is not to offend anybody. But if you don't like my food today, sorry, come back this afternoon. We'll see if it's any better. Come Wednesday night, see if it's any better. Come next week, see if it's any better. Sometimes you just don't like the food. I understand that. But then you might come to the table and not eat for the last reason is, and we just state this because I'm going to elaborate on that, and that's my second point of the message, is you're just not hungry. You ever come to the table? My wife will say, hey, guys, time to eat. And they'll go, I'm not hungry. You ever just not hungry? Time to eat? She's just not hungry. It happens, doesn't it? Well, any or all these that I mentioned unto you can hinder you from eating. Go long enough without nourishment and you will become emaciated, won't you? Total abstinence will lead to severe disability and eventually physical death. It's just going to happen. Well, let's think of this second perspective of the message. I've asked you, I mentioned unto you why reasons why you might come to the table and not eat. I'm going to take that last one. I'm just not hungry. So I emphasize this. My friend, if you come in today and we prepared spiritual food for you, I trust, and I realize today mostly it's milk. I understand that. But if you don't like the milk and you're just not hungry, and you come to the services and you say, well, I'm just never really hungry, please don't blame the restaurant. If you go out to the finest restaurants in town and you sit down and you're not hungry, don't blame the restaurant. It's not their fault you're not hungry. As long as the food is available, as long as you can enter in and you can find a seat and they'll serve you, you can't blame the restaurant if you're not hungry. My brother-in-law, who's gone through cancer and chemo treatments and radiation, got to the place where he just couldn't eat very much. And he didn't have a flavor and he didn't have any taste and he didn't have any appetite, and he's lost about 50, 60 pounds through his treatment. But they went out to eat on a few occasions and then buy stuff and bring it in. But you know what? He just didn't have a desire. You can't blame the restaurant. You can't blame Pizza Hut or Captain D's or any other kind of place. Can't blame the wife for not going to the store and buying stuff. She'd provide stuff, and then her and her son had to eat all of it because he wouldn't eat much. You know why? He just didn't have an appetite. Just wasn't hungry. And my friend, if you come into this house and you say, well, I come in, I hear the preaching, I just really don't hear much. And you're coming for different reasons, and just please don't blame the church. Now, again, I realize there are some churches that don't say much. They don't teach much. I know that. But I trust that this isn't true here. I trust we have the Word of God. We preach the Word of God, and we declare it. And we want you to know. We want you to eat. We want you to feast on the Word when you come. And we do what we can. But if you're not hungry and you say, I'm not hungry, then don't blame the restaurant. Secondly, do not criticize the cook. I mean, as long as it's prepared properly and the food's available to you, don't blame the cook. If you're not hungry today, if you're not getting anything out of this, don't blame me. You say, well, I've already heard things like this, and that's just milk, and I've had plenty of milk. I want some meat. Well, come this afternoon. Come Wednesday night. Verse-by-verse study through the book of Titus and through the book of Mark. That'll be much more meat than what you're going to get right here. Come to the Sunday school. Verse-by-verse through the book of Galatians in the adult Sunday school class. You can have some meat, so if you're complaining about the milk today, then please excuse me for the milk, and, well, come at a different time, and then you'll get something else to chew on. But if it's just the fact you're just not hungry, don't blame the restaurant and don't blame the cook. Rather, I encourage you to access everything that is available. You just don't eat one meal a day, do you? Some people do, but generally we eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or however you call it, supper. But however you phrase that, we'll eat a variety of meals. And I like going to those places where we'll go to Cracker Barrel for men's prayer breakfast, and you can have breakfast there all day long. So if you stop at Cracker Barrel at 6 o'clock at night, man, you can just get you some eggs and biscuits and gravy. I shouldn't be talking like this. You're going to get distracted, but you can eat breakfast at night, can't you? We went yesterday, men's prayer breakfast. Brother Albert looked at it and said, well, it looks pretty good. And then he saw it started at 11. Well, we were there before 11, so it wasn't going to go very far because he couldn't have that, but it did look good. I tell you, select from the menu. We have Sunday school, and we have morning service, and we have afternoon service, and we have Wednesday night service, and ladies have Bible studies. Ladies' Bible study coming up here starting in June. Boy, this gives an opportunity for you ladies to get some more food spiritually. Access the menu. Have a variety. That's all available. Try them all, I would encourage you. But you say, well, I'm just not hungry. Then we must ask the question, why aren't you hungry? My friend, examine why you're not. Why is it that if you go to the table and you don't eat, because you're not hungry? Why are you not hungry? When you come to the house of the Lord, you don't have any spiritual desire for the Word of God. Why is that? Ask yourself some questions. Let me enumerate these very quickly. First of all, some reasons why you may not be hungry is because you just have stresses and anxieties. You know what? You get worried about the things of life and the stress bearing down on you. You're going to lose your appetite. You're not going to be hungry when you come to the table. And some people go to the physical table to eat, and they just can't because they're just too distracted, too much stress. And that could be happening to you right now. You might have so much on your heart and mind that nobody knows about but you. And you're so stressed and you're so anxious that, you know what, you just really don't have any spiritual appetite for spiritual things. That can happen. Or perhaps it's just discouragement and depression. That'll do it. You get discouraged physically, you're going to lose your will to eat and that kind of a thing. Depression, that happens, and you know that happens spiritually too, doesn't it? Third thing I would offer you is you're just not feeling well. I mentioned my brother-in-law through the radiation doesn't feel. You get sick, you feel like eating? Stay away from the table when your stomach's upset, don't you? And you know, if you're not feeling well, you might come in here and you're sick, and some of you, bless your hearts, you know you're sick, and you get up and you're committed, and you come and you sit through the service, but I know how difficult it is because you're still sick. You just don't feel well. You're sniffling and coughing, and you're hurting, and it's upset stomach, and you got a splitting headache, and I mean, there's all kinds of things that can happen to you. It's very hard to pay attention, isn't it? It's hard to take it in. Now, that might be a reason why you're not hungry. But then sometimes we're not hungry because we're filled with other things before we come to the table. That is, you spoil the appetite. I'll come in the afternoon. My wife will have dinner at 5 o'clock or 5:30. or supper, whichever you call it, and I'll come in at 4, 4:30, something like that, and I'll eat a snack. Now, I always eat supper. I don't miss that too much. I'll eat dinner. But you know how it is. You can spoil your appetite. You eat too much when dinner comes around. Every now and then, the boys, you know, they'll just kind of eat all day. And when it comes time for supper, and my wife will say, dinner time, I'm not hungry. Well, why is that? Because you ate all day. Is there anything wrong with that? No, not really. They're growing young men. We don't care. But you know what will happen? You can fill your things with the world and with other kind of things in your life that, you know what, you come to the house of God, there's no focus. You don't have any desire. There's no appetite for the things of God. And the reason is because you've spoiled your appetite. There's not a desire for it. And then let me ask or submit unto you the fifth aspect of it. You're just not hungry because you have nothing to prompt an appetite. You know, elderly people, when they get at a certain age, they start to lose their appetite. They just don't want to eat. Nothing tastes good, just no desire. Sometimes that's a natural process, the way God takes an elderly person. They just quit eating. Sickness or disease, you're taking medication, you just have no appetite. But my friend, sad it is if you come into this house and you say, I want to eat at the things of the food, or the spiritual food is applied for us and it's available for me, but you're just not hungry. Why is it there is no spiritual desire for the things of God? And you say, that's kind of a dumb thing to say because we're here. But you could be here for a lot of reasons. I just encourage you to desire the spiritual food. But if you come and there's no spiritual desire, you need to search your heart. And I submit unto you that you ought to be concerned over your loss of appetite. If you profess to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you say, yes, I'm a child of God, and you have no desire for the Word of God, and you don't have hardly any desire to be with God's people or to be in His house, I think you ought to be asking yourself some questions. Why isn't there any appetite? Why isn't there a spiritual desire that I ought to have? And keep in mind, if you're not eating because you're not hungry or for whatever reason and the others that we might have expressed, there are dangers in not being hungry. Dangers. Let me enumerate these very quickly, then I'll give you an exhortation, which is my conclusion, and I'll be finished. First of all, the danger is if you come and you don't eat and you're not hungry and all that kind of thing, growth will not be as it ought to be. I was always glad my boys, they didn't have any problem eating when they were kids. They don't have any problem eating now, and that's a good thing. Sometimes you get kids, babies, that they just don't eat very much, and you just kind of have to keep force feeding them, and you just have to keep putting it on them. And you know what happens when kids don't eat well and they don't have the proper diet? They get weak, don't they? Growth will not be as it ought to be. They'll be stunted. And that's true spiritually. If you don't feast on the things of God, your growth is not going to be what it ought to be. A spiritual growth will not be as God intends. Secondly, the lack of nourishment will hinder you. It will. You don't eat right, starve yourself, whatever the case might be, my friend, it's going to hinder you physically. You do that spiritually, it's going to hinder you spiritually. It will. Mark it down. And what's going to happen is you're going to increase in weakness. You know, a person's not feeling well, so they don't eat. And so they don't eat, they get weaker. And so because they're weaker, they don't eat. And so they get weaker. Terrible cycle, isn't it? I've met people, it's easy for them to miss the house of the Lord, and they don't come to church and all that kind of thing, and they stay out, and what happens is the more they stay out, the easier it is to stay out, and the harder it is to come back, and it's just oh so difficult, isn't it? This is cycle, and what's going to happen is you neglect the spiritual things of God, you just get weaker and weaker and weaker spiritually. And that will hurt you spiritually. But then also let me submit unto you that your rejection of food is a bad example. You say, well, I don't care about the house of God, I don't care about things of God, I don't care about the Word, and I never read it, and I never look into it. Don't even care to hear it preached too much. I just go to church because I'm expected to, or whatever the case might be. You know what? You're a bad example. And you're teaching your children that God is not important. You're teaching them that church isn't important. You're teaching them that the Bible's not important. And I want to encourage you, every parent here, you have a responsibility and obligation to be an example to your children, and you can be the best example by showing them that God is in heaven, that He is on His throne, that He is important, and the things of God are important, and the church of the Lord is important, and the word is important. Show them these things are true and real. Be the kind of example that you need to be for those who are around you, whether it be your children or your co-workers or other family members or just other church members that need encouragement. Be the kind of example you need to be. Last thing is this. The danger of not being hungry is that you're just going to increase in your stress and your depression and your illness. It's that vicious cycle. It's just going to get worse. I've never figured out why people drink to forget all their problems, because to tell you the truth, when they drink, it creates more problems, and then it's just that cycle just keeps right on going around there. And that same thing with illicit drugs and all that kind of thing. You think you're going to soothe it away? Man, you wake up, it's still there. It's just never going to go away, and it's just worse. Now you're losing your health, you're losing your job, you're losing your family, you're losing everything. And you go, how in the world did I ever get here? Because you started down a wrong path, and you won't get off of it. And what you'll do as a Christian is you'll forsake the house of God, and you'll forsake reading the Scripture, and you'll forsake God's people, and then you're starting on that downward path. And I'll tell you, if you don't make a correction, if you don't come back to the Lord, you're going to regret it one of these days. You're going to wake up and say, how in the world did I get here? Christian, I encourage you to care for the things of God and to love the Word of God. There are dangers in not being hungry. I'm glad you're here. Good to see your face. But we want you to come hungry. We want you to come willing. I want to hear what God has for me today. I want you to come hungry. So let me express in my exhortation, consider this. If you leave here without dining on the Word, why is that? Is it because I'm failing to provide spiritual food? Maybe, but not likely. But if it ever is, tell me. You leave hungry? You don't dine on the Word? Am I failing to make the food palatable? Do I speak too many Greek and English term or Hebrew terms and things like that? Just speak over your head or whatever? Or is it just that you're not hungry? You just don't have an appetite? I don't know. You have to search that out. And my friend, remember we talked about Demas right at the forefront? He's our example. If you're like Demas, and I encourage you, turn back to God while you can. While God moves in your heart, convicts you, is drawing. If you're like Demas, come back. And if you aren't hungry, I would encourage you, find the problem and seek resolution. Now, I know for people that would not say there's not a whole lot of things that they're desirous about, but if you're lost today, I'm glad you're here. And I pray that you continue to seek after God and seek after His Word so that God will resolve that in your heart, that you might be saved. But if you know you're not hungry, seek for a resolution. So I would encourage you to love the Word of God, hear it preached, hear it taught, read it, study it, desire it, be hungry for it, and miss it when it's not available. Miss it. So I plead with you today, come to the table as oft as you can. And come with an appetite. Come willing. Come with open ears and an open heart and say, God, what do you have for me today? Come as often as you can and come with an appetite and feast on everything that's available. No sugar sticks. You know, some of our Baptist church, all they ever teach about is local church truth. Well, that's fine, but there's more than that. And some people like the doctrines of grace. Well, you know what? There's more than that. I mean, there's all kinds of doctrines. Some people just like missions. That's all they ever talk about. There's more than that. No sugar sticks. Eat on everything. And so we try to give you a variety, don't we? And I pray it's a blessing to your heart. I submit to you that you can leave here nourished and refreshed. I think there's an opportunity every service, every time the door is open, for you to come in, and God will meet your spiritual needs. I think it's available. And I pray that you would be nourished. I pray that you would be refreshed. I ask you, have you come to the table hungry? I know this is a little bit different type of message than I normally preach, but I think it's necessary. I want you to think and I want you to ponder. Search your heart. And if you don't have a spiritual desire for the things of God and the Word of God, then I think, Christian, you ought to be asking God, why is that? Why am I not hungry? And if you come to the conclusion that you're lost, or else you know that you're lost, then you just say, God, help me to continue to seek you and to search you and to hear your word and to know about you. Because I'll tell you, the more you know about God and Jesus Christ and the truth of the word, that's what God will use to save you. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So lost person, love the book, get into it, read it, find out who Jesus is, and it'll make a difference in your life. Let's stand. I pray that you've received the message as the intent that it's been given. I hope I had a good attitude about these things, and I pray that I've done nothing as the cook to hinder you to ponder the things of God today. May God take it and apply it to your heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Bless your word. Speak it to our souls as only you can. Move in every heart by your Spirit. We ask you to strengthen each one of us who are your children. That we'd be drawn closer to you. We'd love you more. We'd have a greater desire and a greater zeal and a greater appetite for you and for your word. Cause us to be faithful. We thank you for your grace and your mercy for that end. We pray for the lost that they might be convicted of their sin. And we pray that you would draw them to Jesus that they might be saved. And Lord, change them forever. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?